You're about to listen to the words and teachings of Pastor Shola Oshimakinde of the household of David. Be blessed.
All glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Say that to somebody by your side. Just say, well,
Jesus is Lord.
And is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Can I just say tonight, God bless you. What a beautiful night. Lord, will bless your name. I want to read a place tonight. You know, we've been talking about fruitfulness, right? Psalm 112. But there's something about God wanting a man to be blessed, to be fruitful. Psalm 112 verse 1. The Bible says, Psalm 112 verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, and that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty on earth. There are promises that you can claim for your children and those who are following you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I remember that when Kenneth Hagin started teaching of faith around the world then, you know, in his days, especially in the early 30s and 20s, you know, in the early days, and remember, a lot of people told him that, you see, pastors, our children, they turn bad. And when a man is a very great man of God, he must have it. And all those things are not found in the Bible. So Agin sat down one day and he told him, said, well, I am saying this just to let to understand that God will never tamper with what you believe. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm saying is that, you know, it's important to understand. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the next thing is to understand how Christianity operates. The kingdom of God has some similarities with the kingdom of men, but there are also many differences. And when the word of God is not understood, you cannot walk in light. And it is the entrance of light that ends darkness. Hallelujah. And it is good to, the scriptures are not for us to just memorize or to know. In Old Testament, they were called to obey the Bible. In New Testament, we are called to do the word. So we are doers of the word. Because the word does something to you. So from ages past, it was told, pastors, children must turn back. But one day he sat down with the word. When you come to the understanding of the fact that God and his words, they are one. And that when you are studying the word, it is listening to the voice of God. Not understanding this is the reason why many people go to pray. They pray. And when they want to read the Bible, they fall asleep. And I've told you many times. In prayer, your words to God are not as important as God's word to you. As a matter of fact, the only reason we pray, the end product of our prayer is that when we pray, we want God to speak to us. Until he speaks, nothing changes. Peter said, we have toiled all night, but at your word. Jesus did not change the boat. He did not change the net. He did not change the water. Some people think they want to run abroad and they think they will prosper there. Well, I've always said that a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in London. People think as if people change location, change. Sometimes it is good to stay at one point and find the reason why things are not working. When the reasons are understood or the reason is known, you will create success every other place that you get to. Hallelujah. It grieves me that when, you know, when we started pastor, just like every other, or but like most general minister, I know that I too started from the scratch. Now, many of you were not here that time. There was nobody that was there except, and you know, the day I was the only one doing service on Sunday morning, it was Pastor Charlie that walked in. And she was just a Muslim, just walking around. And then she came in and she said, where is everybody? Who wants to go to a church where the pastor is, the pastor is, the congregation is, the choir is, everything? She met me at the front of the church. I was just, I take pleasure in worshiping. And she sat at the back. The hall was about this size or smaller. Triangle. I think they have, what they have there now? KFC. They have KFC there now. It used to be Triangle Eatery then. One of the small cubicles up there. My meeting. And you know, but I remember that some of my friends also, some of the guys who used to, all of us used to preach a lot in UI and then the schools then, who were called also. I remember that when some of them also started. You know, when I was on campus, we were having two services. We thought that coming to Lagos, everybody in UI would join me. Then later, I was the president of the Joint Christian Fellowship UI. And I remember that there were guys who came there because of my popularity in school. Then who came and they entered. No drum, no mic, nothing, no pulpit, no nothing. Just empty, just one man standing by chairs. It didn't look like what they saw in school then. And they never came back. Amen. At times, God will get you to a point where you will know that outside Him, there is nobody. Every confidence in man must be taken away from you. If they are not taken away, you cannot be a vessel as you should be. Hallelujah. That's why that God will introduce a situation where nobody can help you except God. And once you pray and you are helped, your relying, your reliance or any dependence or any kind of leaning on men will die forever. You just know that you love men, you appreciate them, but when they walk away, you don't have any problem at all. Knowing that God is your source, and the one that is your source is constant, others are buried. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So when a man is in Christ, he has to understand the operations of the kingdom. So somehow, Agin has been taught to know that God and His word, they are one. It is the word of God. So he was reading one day and he read a place where the Bible says, Paul was talking about Timothy. He said, the faith that was in thy grandmother, Louis, that was in your mother, Ennius, and that is in you. Eh? Then the man paused. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Timothy's grandmother had faith in her. Timothy's mother had faith in her. Timothy had faith in him. He said, so it's a transgenerational thing. He said, then my son, we have faith in him. My grandson, we have faith in him. And there are about four generations of preachers right now. None of them turn bad. Now his son is in charge of Rema. He preaches exactly like the father. Now that one son is preaching. The same with Kenneth Copeland now to the fourth generation. The one I saw on TV teaching is the grandson of Kenneth Copeland. Understand it. Someone else heard that. Pastor's church, he will pray about it and think. Now, it's okay to pray about something. But get to the point where a word is said to you to correct that information that is trying to override or take position in your heart. That is the meaning of the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal. They are mighty through God in pulling down strong, casting down imaginations. And at times it can be hard. When God speaks to you, He does something to every part of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Keep your Bibles open around you in the house every now and then. When you have your devotion in the morning, seek to hear from Him. It's a training you have to grow into. But after a while, you begin to see the beauty of hearing from the Lord. It will silence every other thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I just want to read this. And I said that because, honestly speaking, until something changes about the way you think, God won't do anything about it. Jesus only, we have something, only one word to say. It will be unto you according to your faith. And if your faith is negative, the Bible says, if thy eyes is full of darkness, your life will be full of darkness. So it becomes very necessary to understand the operations of the things of the Spirit from the Word of God. I read this one, and I did Psalm 12 say that the man that feared the Lord and delighted greatly in His commandment. That word delight greatly in commandment is what I want to talk about today. The Bible says, verse 2, His seed shall be mighty upon the heart. It's a promise for the children we are giving back to them. They're not going to turn bad. Hallelujah. We stand on the word of God to say that our seed will be mighty, that means they will be greater than us. Now, verse 3, the Bible says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Why is it that anytime God visits a man, the man starts becoming prosperous? It is because the Almighty lies leaving a gift behind. Let's read Psalm 1. Hallelujah. And then we'll read John 15, and then we are through. Psalm 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A man that fears the Lord, wealth and riches will be in his house. Wow. None of us should be broke. Say amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. It says, a man that fears the Lord, wealth and riches will be in his house. He said, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Job 36:11. It's a promise. So that means God is not interested in any man being broke. I'm going to say in John 15, I want to read. Amen. And I'll tell you something to do about this. Just to adjust a little stuff inside you. Are you with me? So, Psalm 1, first Psalm. David decided to open the Psalm, his prophecy or his songs of Psalm this way. Blessed is the man, who walketh not the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful, but his delight Where we read earlier says that a man that fears the Lord and greatly delights in his commandments. I want to say to us, if that's all I get to say tonight, have pleasure, love this thing that is called the Bible. They are not empty words. They are logos. This is a letter. But when you put your eyes on it, inside you becomes a living epistle that changes everything about you. If a scripture is fired into your spirit about health, sickness will die off your life. If a scripture is fired into you about wealth, prosperity will come in. The word, nothing will change on the external except that the result will change. It will be the same job, but this time around the contracts are different. That's what the word does. Peter gave his bow to Jesus, and that's the starting point. You must demonstrate faith in the Lord. And I've spoken about that at length. That's why those who are not givers cannot really assess this thing. That's chapter 2, but that's not our focus today. You know, the first thing Jesus did, he did not answer Peter's prayer. He toiled all night and he caught nothing. But Jesus did not address that one first. He first said, please push me into the water. If God ever leads a man to give, it is because something is coming from your life. If you are a giver regularly, both for the things of God, and then you don't close your eyes to those who have needs around you. Many times because you have a need, you forget others who have needs around you. Something happens to those who are, the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters will himself be watered. It's a settled issue. But anyway, then we'll talk about that. Amen. And anytime I want to talk about giving, I like on that day to say that there's no giving, no special offering. Because when you talk to some people, think that that's what you want to know. I teach people to go home and study. You might not see me again, but I want that teaching to remain with you. So I tell you, don't give, to just study what I have shared with you, that I might live with you. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's read Psalm 1 again. So the Bible says, it's the light. So there are things it does not do, and there is something that it does. It does not. The Bible says it does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Is that right? Let's read again. It walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. And then it does not sit in the seat of scornful. That is, those are the things it doesn't do. But then there is something it does. It's delight. It's in the law of his God. And it's in his law, he meditates day and night. Hallelujah. At the first service yesterday, the simple thing I talked to him, I said, everybody that came for second service, for every church, more people come for second service than first service. I said, people should get the message of the first service. The problem with many Christians is that everything they learn about God, they practice one, they stop. Nothing yields by you practicing it once. In his law, he meditates how often? If you are not consistent in anything you've learned, when they teach anywhere on time, some will just, that month they give their time, they are expecting a harvest. You see, what God does, Bible says that we shall reap reward if we faint not. Many times, God, when you teach on prayer, somebody prays very well the following morning, and then the third morning, and then they begin to wane. They expect as they start praying, something will happen. Many times, God does not pray like that. He watches you. Because you have to develop roots. You have to be planted. So the Bible says that it's the light, it's the law. In his law, he meditates day and night. It shall be like a tree planted. And I emphasize that one. Peter saw it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, if these things are in you and they are bound. Not only that they are in you, they are bound. They must take root in you. When a man is taught prayer, he has to pray. I can tell you one thing for sure. If you step up how you pray, and you do it for 30 days, and you don't break it in between, something will break into your life. If you hear a teaching on Bible study, and you give more time, say, okay, I want to be studying the Bible for like 20 minutes every day now, and you can do it for 30 days without breaking it in between, something new will happen. But I tell you the truth, as soon as you start, you'll be opposed. One edict in the morning, some of you, those who pray, today you pray 5:30 a.m., tomorrow you pray 6. Then you pray 7. Then when there's no light, you pray so much because there's no TV to watch. But when there's light, Game of Thrones or Throne of Game. You are watching. And I told her yesterday, I have not seen that thing, so I don't know. Because some people are beginning to make us on Facebook feel like if you don't see Game of Thrones, you don't know Game of Thrones, you are dethroned. Well, some of us don't watch and we are not misplaced before. I'm not saying anything is wrong with them. Just that the way they make it look like, say, you must watch. Somebody showed me, I saw it about 15 minutes, I said, I don't like this. It's boring. I just said, boy, give me 24. There's one film that will be climax after climax, you know. By nature, they don't shoot in the film, I don't like it. So, I don't know. We are not watching African Magic, but I just sitting down talking. But it's not African Magic. That's why I like Jack Chan and Jet Li a lot, you know. Amen. Is somebody with me? Hallelujah. Amen. It shall be. So, do not adjust your prayer life anyhow. Be consistent. It is there that the results will come. You must be diligent about what you do. So, the Bible says, it shall be like a tree planted that brings forth its fruit in season. Why is God passionate about fruitfulness? And we established that yesterday. It means a lot to God. And when you know this, what it does to you is that you are not struggling to be successful. You begin to realize that God has destined and He has ordained and that heaven is backing your success. Are you with me? It shall be like a tree planted by the riverside that brings forth its fruit. Its leaf shall not, it's a certain statement, shall not wither. Whatever it does, it prospers, even if it's a conductor of a bus. Prosperity has nothing to do with the kind of job people are doing. It's about understanding the word and practicing the word. Bishop Oyedepo's mother was dying. The grandmother, when she was dying, I told them in church, she was dying. And she was very old, of course, when her time was up. She called Bishop Oyedepo, who was living with her then. He said, my son, David, come. And he said, take your Bible and write about 27 names or so of people owing her money. And she said, if they bring it by themselves, collect it if they want to. He said, but if they don't bring, don't go to anybody's house and ask for the money. A woman selling pap and akara had more than enough. 27 people owing her, and she wasn't going to know that. Where's my money? I need my money. I'm not very early. I need that money. And there are people earning 1 million. They are still broke. If they sack some people today, that's the end of their prosperity. If I even though they are paying them high, the money doesn't reach the end of the month. That's why they will carry placards when they are not paid. You understand what I'm saying? It has nothing. Joseph was in the prison and was prosperous in the prison. It is about, it's not about everybody stacking bills. It's about the fact that you know that you are progressing and you are happy with the progress of your life. You understand? The guy is driving somebody. But he pays his children's school fees on time. When they ask for house rent, he delivers. This is the rent. Everything is moving and he's happy. He knows God is with him. He sees the hand of God over his life. He does not go to any man to beg for anything. That's a prosperous man. Whatever is around his means to respond. When somebody does say, okay, Ashebi, he contributes his own. He has. Because he's fulfilling 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. All grace are bound towards him. So he has sufficiency for every good work. If it's a good work that fits into his life, somehow the supply is there to meet it. He might not be able to go to the street to buy all the houses, but all the good things that should go on in his life are going on. The son said, we should buy, daddy, now I'm through with, we have a purchase of traveling abroad, we need money to pay for this. He gives the guy the money. Oh, the car is broken down. We now have that car. He has the money to pay. Grace is working for supply. There are those who have good cars, but all the projects that mean so much to them, they can't do those ones, and they are depressed. Are you with me?
Yes,
praise the Lord. So that's so. I mean, Joseph wake up. He was in charge of all the other prisoners. So the guy was just whistling in the morning. Now I'm not saying you should go to prison and be. Say Joseph was a prisoner and he had a good time. So I can. There's no good time in prison. Circumstances took him there. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So it shall be like it. God loves people to be fruitful. And so how important this is to God. Before I read John 15 and I close with us, the first statement, Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the first thing God said to man after creating man, be fruitful. I told a lady one day, when a Christian woman believes in God for the fruit for a child, where you know this, no fallopian tube or that is not an issue. Honestly speaking, the anointing of God and the power of faith does not consider all those things. The last one that gave out triplets in redemption camp, no fallopian tomb. At times Christians forget that God is God and God is not a man. When you say this to even unbelievers, they will say that they know that God is God, God can do anything. But has it entered your heart that when you are tackling a situation, something really convinces you that God is not a man? And that was what Jesus introduced to Peter. He said, yo, you gave me your boat to preach. When he was finished preaching, he said, no problem. Look, be passionate about the gospel. Learn to reach out to people where you are. And then learn to contribute heavily towards the progress of the kingdom of God. The gospel. I showed them one day in church, and it's amazing. I think about last Sunday. Learn to be passionate about this. Jesus brought what money out of the mouth of people when they asked him for his personal tax. Jesus fed over 5,000 people when they needed food. He did that two times. First time 4,000, second time 5,000. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, Jesus had women who were giving to his ministry. And the Lord showed me that the reason for this is that God deliberately allows men to give towards his work, that he might bless them. The same thing Peter said in the wilderness. God fed 2 million people with manna for 40 years. When they said they were tired of manna, he brought fish from them from the sea. When they said they wanted flesh, he brought birds for them to kill. But when they wanted to build the temple, he told every man to contribute gold. The one who fed them for 40 years couldn't he get gold himself? But he wanted to say, see, that was your food. He said, but this is my house to be built. That's why I get chapter 1 says that this house is lay rooms and you are running about your own house. Christians must understand that number one assignment of God on earth is soul winning. Those whose resources are going into preaching of materials, sending messages around, organizing crusades, reaching out to people, they are of all men most blessed. But that's the most important thing to the master. He has paid. Jesus didn't die for Christians. He died for the whole world. Christians are only the only ones who have received the benefit of his death. Many will go to hell, not because the sin is against them, but they have not received. So Jesus is not forgiving a sinner when he repents. That sinner is accepting forgiveness that is already available. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Have you read Paul's vision statement when Jesus appeared to him? He said, for this cause I have appeared unto you. Paul was reporting to Agrippa and the rest of them. Let's read, I think that's Acts 26 verse 19 or so. He said, for this cause I have appeared to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things that you have seen and of the things that I will show you. And I will deliver you from the people to whom I send you to now, that you might... I want to see that that's... What verse is that? Verse 17. Okay, verse from 16. When Jesus appeared to Paul, he appeared to him, of course, in an earlier chapter. Watch, he appeared to Saul in chapter 9, right? When he fell on the way to Damascus. Then he was now reported, when they now arrested him in Jerusalem, he was telling Agrippa what Jesus said to him. They just arrested him. He said, Jesus said to him, verse 17, verse 16, but rise upon your feet. I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things that you have seen and of the things I will show you, delivering you from the people, from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of God, from power of Satan unto God, that they may do what? Say it. What does it mean of receive? You receive what is already available. You don't create. It didn't say that I might forgive them. I have already forgiven them. He said that they might receive the forgiveness. Oh, to every sinner in the world, forgiveness is available. I pray they receive. That's why Christians have to tell them that they might receive forgiveness. That they might receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. It's available. Nobody will go to hell because of what they have done. People will go to hell because of what they have refused to believe. Are you with me? Nobody goes to hell because of what they have done. People will go to hell because of what they have refused to believe. If you check, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit shall come, shall convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. It says, of sin because they believe not in me. The greatest sin is not to believe in Jesus. I hear silly statements made by some people. Someone will even behave better. Who talks about behavior here? When we get into Christ, we learn how to act right. No doubt about that. How to abstain from all lust and all those things. No doubt about that. But the sincere truth is this. Righteousness of Christ is not by do's and don'ts. It's a gift. but then it manifests in what you do. Is that right? Praise the Lord. So no matter how good a man is, he's not good enough for heaven. No man can stand before God and say, I'm pure. Pure where? It's not about you, it's about what Adam did. You are born into Adam. If you don't change your lineage, you are guilty. Guilty as charged. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first thing God said to man, and I have to close now, be fruitful. He created Adam. The Bible says, God said, let us make man our own image. Verse 26, then verse 27. In the image God created them, male and female he made them. And then the Bible says, God said to them, verse 28, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the hearts. And I showed them yesterday, that Genesis 1:28. After some chapters, men started thinking, the Bible said that God saw, Genesis chapter 6, that the imagination of the heart of man was wickedness continually. I mean, man was wicked. He said the whole heart was full of violence. And I tell people, do not allow violence around you. Like I shared briefly at the women's program yesterday, if violence enters a marriage, the blessing evaporates. The Bible said the whole heart was full of violence. And God said that, I am tired of man. I will want. But the Bible says, Noah found grace in the sight of God. And the Bible says Noah was a perfect man in generation. He was not perfect because of what he was doing. He was made perfect because he found favor with God. God just declared him a perfect man. Are you with me? Because shortly after that we saw what he did. We know he wasn't perfect. But God just declared him a perfect man. And this is very important. So God saw violence. He saw rape. He just saw man. Humanity, they were just thinking evil repeated. And God said, can their heart be pure? And he said, okay, I'm going to wipe off this generation. And Noah started a new generation. As soon as he came out of the ark, Genesis chapter 9 verse 1, the first thing God said to Noah again is that, be fruitful. That means this is my ultimate plan. I want people to be fruitful. Hallelujah. And I read again Genesis 17. He told Abraham also, he said, you be fruitful. Because Adam started one generation that ended with the flood. Noah started a new generation. But God called Abraham out from his family to pioneer another generation. And all the three generations, the same word to all of them, be fruitful. It shows how important this is to God. But let's look at Jesus and we close with this. John chapter 15, verse 8. So Jesus came to start another generation again. We belong to a new race. If any man is in Christ, a new creation, all things are passed away. All things are what? So it's a new family we belong to. Amen. Genesis 15. Look at what Jesus said again. Sorry, John 15. John 15, verse 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is somebody following me tonight? Yes, John 15, verse 8. The Bible says, here reign, this is how. Here reign is my Father glorified. That you do what? Yes. Jesus is glorified when you bear much fruit. Jesus is not only saying bear fruit. He said much fruit. Hallelujah. When a woman gets married and she gets pregnant when she wants to, heaven rejoices. When the family is advancing, God rejoices. Remember, for every child born into a Christian family is a plus for the kingdom of God. For every child born into an unbelieving family is a work for all of us ministers. Take this from me. I'm not talking about malaria, you are bitten by mosquito, those are minor. Hear this from me. Sickness is spiritual. Somebody came to see me in the office with cancer. Now it has entered his eyes. It was in the mouth before. He was talking and saliva was spray. He was using handkerchief to gather. I was just seeing demons all over him. Sickness is not normal. One lady came to see me of cancer. Oh, she had lost all her hair, so she wore things. When she was in the office, she opened her hair. If not for the faith of Jesus, I shook a little to see the condition she was in. You will just know that this is not ordinary. This is spiritual. Somebody has never been seen before. This is now 40. There's a terminal kidney coincide. And then it begins to grow. And then, oh, no matter the operation, this guy was operated. When they operated the mouth, the cancer showed up elsewhere. That is in his eyes. One eye completely gone. As big as this. It's spiritual. Hallelujah. Are you with me? What they call tumor is actually demon. That's the right name. They just removed the T and himself took our infirmity. As soon as you begin to meditate on the word of God, something comes up. Amen. Hallelujah. When somebody begins to tell me that, okay, I feel sick and I'm taking drugs, and after a while they are not getting well, and it's getting more and more, time is going, I just be like, the one that is not spiritual, when you use drug, you should go. Now, when you use the right drug and it doesn't go, there is more, it's a sign that what is behind six, like they say, Yoruba, is more than seven. You understand? You repeated the same medication three times, and it just, even you yourself, you know, this thing should take care of this, but it's not taking care of that, there is something. Because at times it starts like a known thing, and their doctors are so sure, they say it's this one. But when it develops at another level, they say, we don't know what is wrong again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? We've dealt with all kinds of issues. One woman, after she will just see something in her dream, and then somebody will come and have sex with her in her dream, and the pregnancy must come down. You can't say that's ordinary. That's not an ordinary miscarriage. And that happened about three times. She'll get pregnant, somebody will meet with her in the dream, and by within 3 days after that, the thing comes down. She goes to the bus, she didn't know who to talk to again. Amen. Somebody also said that every time somebody shows up, like every 3 months, shakes hands with him, and the whole business shuts down. Every now and then. And then the contract with, any time something big was coming, somebody giving him a heavy contract, this man will appear in the dream, wearing black, shake hand with him, and then he'll wake up immediately after that, and then the contract must go down. These are demonic operations. We don't want to call us, I don't believe in somebody saying I'm a divine minister and all those things, giving glory to demons, but make no mistake about the spiritual things are real. Alright? But it's not that our faith in God is more real. So we talk about our faith in Christ and the power of the word of God. So that we don't put people into fear, we let them stand on the word of God. Greater is it that is in us than the one that is in the world. A Christian needs no deliverance. When you are born again, that's greater deliverance. You've been translated. Stand on it and declare to all demons to leave you alone. They will leave. At the mention of the name of Jesus, they have no choice but to bow, except you don't believe in the name you are using. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. That is in verse 16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I have ordained you to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I just want to submit to us this, that this is God's will. A man moved to one house. That house, a haunted house. Now they are beginning to believe that in Europe, because they see some houses or some haunted houses. There are houses in Israel. Nobody wants to live there, because they agreed that this one, there are demons there. I pray that if you want to start a church in London, you should give up that house. We'll gladly move in. When the kingdom only comes in, all demons must check out. Yes, hallelujah. The two people were arguing in the house, and one killed the other one. From that, it became a very haunted building. The first guy that moved after that said that around 1 a.m., two people be shouting. The argument continued. You will hear loud. That one carried his load and ran away. And then this Christian came in. I just came to his room like 1 a.m. and heard two invisible people arguing. I think they wanted to smash something on themselves. The whole house would be vibrating. So she went to tell her pastor. And the pastor told her that it's very simple. They are talking because we are not talking. He said, next time they start, you two start talking. The Lord is my shepherd. Greater is he that is in me. When the voices started again, she just said that in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, I thank God for you. They kept quiet. And they said, address them. In the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirits making noise, they're out of this building. They have no choice. You don't respect. It has nothing to do with somebody is a pastor, somebody is a member. It's the spiritual authority is given to every Christian. If you see somebody who is exciting it more, it's because he believes more in it. But it is given to everybody equally. You know what? Police has... authority has nothing to do with the size of the policeman. You can be driving trailer. You can be a wealthy man and be driving Range Rover Sport 2017. The police might not have bicycle. If he's the one on the road and he says stop, what do you do? You know why? Authority. He wears his uniform. Many of you can beat up most of the policemen who have harassed you before. But why did you raise your hand? He says, come down. You know that he's harassing to collect money from you. Will come down. Where is this one? You show him. Where is this one? He said, no, stay there. One that stopped me till 12 midnight before I got married. And I made up. When he saw that I wouldn't give, he called the guy. He said, I said, whatever. Then he released me. I went back home in peace. Come by 12, we took all together. I wasn't going to get. I had money in my pocket. I just made up my mind. I said, we will stay here together. Early around about 1 day, I was just coming. The light was not showing because I will not break the law. It's part of our Christianity. I can't break law. If I do, I submit myself to the punishment. I was just coming. And the light was not showing. No red, no nothing. Light was off. And I passed, and the man jumped. 4 days, just jumped. I said that you beat the traffic light. I said, go and look at it, that light. He said, it just went off now. I just wondered. I said, let me tell you, my name is Shola. I'm a Christian. I don't lie. That light has been off since. I encourage you, leave the road because I'm going to move right now. So he cocked his gun. I said, why don't you go ahead and shoot? I don't have to tell. The second time my wife was there, she said, why are you doing this? I said, let him shoot now. Greater is he. There are some people that bullets cannot kill. Oh, my wife was shivering. She said, don't do that. At least you should have. I said, there's nothing to tell them. And in Nigeria, we need to be supporting ourselves. One day, a woman was before me. A car was before her. And they stopped the first woman. She passed when it was on green. It turned orange before she passed fully. And they said, and she was begging them. And then I saw opening her wallet. I went to park and I said, madam, keep your purse. And the five were there surrounding them. Who are you? What do you know? I said, well, who am I? It's not important. The truth of the matter is that I was running from behind this woman. Till I passed, it was still orange. Stop this nonsense. And a man, he was a lawyer. He was coming from court. He had his stuff on him. He was trying to come down to join us. And that's why I told him, what's your business? Let us go. That is the problem on Nigeria. If everybody stop on that road that day to shout at them, they will not be doing that again. But I rescued the woman. I rescued the woman. She didn't give her that. She left me with them. She drove me with them. I said, my man, Lord, my man, worry. Let them face me. And they found that the church was just close by. That's why we had a big treat. And they said, oh, you are the pastor on that ward. I said, well, that's not the problem. Then they escorted me to the office. And one of them told them that I was holding phone, that maybe I recorded the thing. They said, you see, sir, we need to understand ourselves here, that we are neighbors and everything. And you know, at the end, they used to say to us that, oh, you did not record. God help our, you know, a foreign minister that came to preach on Sunday at the conference said that he read the portion and he said that Christians, you need to know that police are ministers of God. And Nigerians, he came from America. That was 2 days ago. That's Bishop Kate Butler. In Covenant Pastor God's church, the members of the church shouted. One man said that we know that situation in the Bible, but it wasn't written for Nigeria. He said, police are ministers of God everywhere, except in Nigeria. Amen. Is somebody blessed today? Shall we rise? People couldn't take it. Ministers of God, Nigeria police. But you know that the word of God is, that's the truth. They might not be behaving like it. Then the man tried to explain. Then he said, Nigerians, I know your problem. You might have some bad ones among them. Somebody said, I know. We might have some good ones. It's a better rendering. Well, you know, we love police. In our church, we have made up my story, the leaders, that when a police dies in our area, we will give money to his family. And ask them, we're paying their school fees. And I told them, John, we need to start doing things like that. If I'm trying to send them to the IF now, which is closed, so I should give us the names of police who have died on duty. That's what we churches should get involved with. I learned that from Kenneth Copeland. They do that a lot, and I said that we need to. If a police dies while on duty, we should find out the children. You know, this is what people do. They go and cry when a young man dies. How many people remember the family after that? I was a pastor, but one day, they lost a pastor who had preached for us before, Dr. Benga. He's a medical doctor. Many of you have seen him in church before. It was very painful. Nothing was wrong with him. He was in the house and he just died. And you know, Pastor Bojo said on his funeral that day as he was preaching, he said, Pastor, this is hard for a pastor to do. So we said, Benga, we're together. He was teaching us to Shagam as a doctor. He just moved to Lagos. And he said, the plan is that till the last born we marry, all their school fees, everything. Pastor Bojo, the fountain, is an expert in doing things like that. don't mention how Pastor Taiwo preached. Some people died or lost their parents or anything. It'll be responsible. I have seen a guy that Pastor Taiwo did not know. Somebody took him to the office. That this boy, he got admission abroad and no money. Pastor Taiwo gave him 2.something million. This guy that I said came to my office that had cancer. I was having a personal retreat away, so I said he wanted to go abroad for treatment. I just sent SMS to Pastor Taiwo to call him. And he said, let them come and see me tomorrow. He prayed for them and he gave them 2 million. I go for. My brother just met him once. He was writing a book. He said, are you sponsoring the book? He said, no, I'm doing it by myself. And gave my brother 1.5 million. I know him. I know Pastor Bojan. I know Pastor Tua. A friend of mine went to Pastor Bojan recently, just like about last week. A day to the appointment, he removed the brain box of his car. So he called Pastor Bojan, sir, let's reschedule for the next 3 hours. Because I'm trying to fix my car from the mechanic. Something's removed something from me. He said, no problem. When the man got there, they talked with his wife and had his good time. They were able to picture. As we were going, he said, come in. I have something for you. The guy said, give him the envelope. He said, when he opened their mouth, he started thanking God for those thieves that took the brain box. He said, because he fixed the brain box, filled the upholstery, painted the car. I said, maybe this guy should come back again when I'm going to see this one. Amen. There are ministers that I know who are now, some other men do this, but they don't mention. This man didn't tell me. It's what that friend that told me. I saw somebody the following day. They didn't say that your friend that came yesterday, I gave him something. They kept quiet about it. Is the reason why some people are progressing. The day I got to know that there are over 1,000 students in Covenant University who are under Bishop Oyedepo's personal scholarship. David Oyedepo here today gives out over 150 million naira every quarter for scholarship. And he will never. The day somebody saw their check, 30% of the students are on full scholarship. And people don't know this. If you're a member of the church and your father is a member, your mother is a member, if your pastor writes for you, your child will go through 50% discount in scholarship. The day a pastor who was criticizing the gospel, he said, but why are you not saying this? People are saying this about that. He said that, does it matter? They were talking about me with 50,000. Now we have 450,000 every Sunday. Let them keep talking. It's helping us. If you criticize a man and he's going forward, he's enjoying it. So people don't, you are the one who feel they are the way they are talking. So people don't feel that you are talking about them. Everybody talks about Dangote every day. Bill Gates, one particular year, had 500 law cases against him in court. 500 against one man. People think they love the man. Come and say allegation, but he stole our copyright, he stole all kinds of allegations. But if you are advancing, let them talk. If I ask you now that somebody will criticize you tomorrow, but for every criticism you receive 50 million. What will you say? He said, Lord, deliver us from those who hate us. Or Lord, let them multiply. It doesn't mean we should not do things right. We should. But once you have done your best and you are following, you will leave people to say whatever. You can never please human being. That's the truth. Amen. Is somebody blessed tonight? Yes, let me hear loud. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I love the word of God. Say,
I am fruitful.
I am fruitful.
In this world,
I will dominate. I have dominion. I walk in abundance.
I'm a tree
planted by the riverside. My leaves will never wither. I bring forth my fruits in due season. Everything I should have per time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have it. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight.